Daft on Draft podcast, and we have a very special Daft or Draft episode for you guys today. We have conference championship games coming up. We have the college football playoff rankings just dropped about an hour ago, and every single one of our Daft or Drafts is going to be based off of the college football playoffs as they stand today. Obviously, things will change a little bit as teams win and lose in the conference championship games, but we are going to talk about all of this. I can't do it alone. I am Dalton Miller, joined, as always, by my co-host, Corey Kinnon, the fake Corey Kinnon, on X, the dead social media platform, or dying social media platform, on Blue Sky as Daft on Draft, I believe.
Yeah.
And I am Dalton B. Miller on both, even though I rarely frequent the streets of Twitter anymore. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm still trying to figure out the Blue Sky. They let you use you can choose a domain name as your handle. And so, like, I bought the domain name for my Substack. So I was like, sure. So yeah, my Blue Sky is daftondraft.football. I don't know what the advantages of that are, but it is. So I'm rolling with it. But yeah, man, it's good to be here tonight. We get this playoff rankings dropped. Excited to talk about it. And you know, I really wanted to use that as my intro, but I don't want to spoil any conversation. So, yeah, I think I'm just ready to dive in. Mm-hmm. Off to a good week so far. So yeah, I'm fully recovered from the Ohio State Michigan game. I am honestly rejuvenated by the Browns Broncos game. That was about as fun of a game while maintaining draft position.
Can we have a really serious discussion real quick? Because
yeah.
I love Jameis Winston as a quarterback. I think he is the most fun player in the NFL. Like, it's just intoxicating to watch him play. He is the most unintentionally hilarious person I have ever heard speak in my entire life. And I don't forget what happened at Florida State.
Yeah.
And I do believe a lot of people, because so much time has passed. I mean, I was just starting college at about that time. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that a lot of people have kind of forgotten that part of the Jameis story. Uh-huh. And I do think that it is still an important part of the story because of the team that he plays for, because of the quarterback that he took over for, because of the comments that he made about the quarterback earlier in the season as well, because he knows that all of that could fall back onto him and his past as well. But good God, can we just enjoy a fun thing without having to rehash a decade-old past? Like, we can acknowledge this all happened. Mm-hmm. But we can also acknowledge that he is wildly entertaining and that the NFL is way more fun with him as a starting quarterback in the league. We can acknowledge the very, very bad things that are alleged in his past, and that Florida State very much allegedly helped to pay off, but also acknowledge that he is making the NFL so much more entertaining this year. That's all I got to say about that. Let's get to Daft or Draft. And I think that we are going to start with a banger.
Yeah.
Penn State, if they beat Oregon, should jump Texas and be the one seed in the college football playoffs. That is obviously assuming Texas beats Georgia as well. But what do you think?
I'm going to draft this. I'm going to draft it. And again, it comes down to the quality. And again, we watch film, right? Like, we aren't going off of box scores. We aren't going off of perception. The way that, honestly, the playoff committee is. Texas's one loss is to Georgia, and it's an ugly one. They have a chance to to make that right, but we're also talking about Penn State's only loss being a one-score game to Ohio State at that point, if they beat Oregon, who has been the number one team in the nation the entire season. So I don't think it's far-fetched to jump from, what are they right now, 3-1 at all if you beat the number one team in the nation. That's not far-fetched. Do I think that Penn State has more talent than Texas? No. No, I do not. But I think I trust Penn State's quarterback more, which is saying a lot because I really don't trust Drew Aller a whole lot. But I do trust him a lot more than I trust Texas's quarterback. Just the quality of football that those two teams are playing right now as well, I think leads up to it, to this decision to say, yes, I think Penn State should be the number one team in the nation at that point. So I'm going to draft it. Because again, we're talking about the 3 seed beating 1 versus 2 beating 7 at that point. And like the math doesn't math any other way for me than to agree that yeah, Penn State should jump to number 1.
Yes. So it's a difficult answer because I do believe that when we look at this from the committee's point of view, I think that they deserve to jump Texas and be the 1 seed. When I look at these two teams, and you said it perfectly, they don't have as much talent as Texas does. Mm-hmm. I think if you put those two teams head to head, Texas would win by 10 points. And most of it just comes down to offensive efficiency, their ability to get the ball into the hands of their playmakers without being a complete gimmick every single time that they do anything from it be formationally. Like I have that much faith in Steve Sarkisian. I love that offensive line. I love the weapons that they have. I just went back and rewatched Isaiah Bond for our episode tomorrow. I have more faith in that offense because it's not just Isaiah Bond. And honestly, it's very little of Isaiah Bond in that offense compared to what I think it probably should be. But it's also Gunnar Helm. It's also number 2, Golden. Number 5 makes some plays as well. And so I'm looking at this. And then Jadon Blue, when he's not fumbling the football, also is a very good playmaker. So like they have the weapons offensively. I think they have a talented defense. Penn State obviously has a talented defense as well. But I believe, and I'm going to draft this because I'm looking at this from the perspective of the committee. Me personally, I would keep Texas at 1. I would put Penn State at 2. But when we look at this from the way that the committee looks at it, mm-hmm. I think that they deserve to make the jump because, like you said, Oregon has been the best team in the nation all year, and it hasn't even really been a question. They will also be beating the team that beat Ohio State earlier in the year. So transitive property also kind of works there as well. So I'm going to draft this one with you.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Again, do I think Penn State is a national?
So here's another question.
I really don't think James Franklin can win a
No, absolutely not. But like here's the other question. What is the best team? I mean, right now we think it's Oregon. But like if Penn State beats Oregon and shows some flaws in Oregon's, you know, some chinks in their armor, who is the best? Like who is winning this national championship? Because there is no one team for me. There's no two or three teams for me.
I think what it comes down to me is what team is better at getting their playmakers the football. And honestly, Penn State's been pretty good at getting.
Well, because they only Tyler have Warren to.
And Nick Singleton the football. Exactly. That's what
they only have to.
I think Penn State's better at getting them the football than Texas is at getting their guys the football based on how it depends on what Quinn Ewers shows up and for how long. Yeah. Like that Texas A&M game, he looked really good in the first two quarters when he was finding Ryan Wingo and he was finding Matthew Golden and he was finding Gunnar Helm and not Isaiah Bond. But then that second half, like he did his best to give Texas A&M that football game, like did his best to give Texas A&M that football game. So like he wasn't very good at getting his playmakers involved at that point. As much as I think that Drew Aller doesn't have very many NFL throws on tape and a lot of his success is schemed open And again, a lot of that comes down to the wide receivers that he does have. Mm-hmm. Significantly less talent at the wide receiver position. Andy Kolnecki and Drew Aller know how to get Tyler Warren the football. They know how to find Nick Singleton in space. And that makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference. And so, oh man, I could say Penn State, if you can scheme up a way, but those SEC schools have so much speed and so much.
Well, I was going to say at the end of the day
as well, like at the end of the day, Georgia.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like it's probably, at the end of the day, it's probably Georgia. Like if Carson Beck plays anywhere near the way that he has played in the past two or three weeks, then it's probably Georgia. But I don't know, because Georgia doesn't really have many weapons either.
No,
how many passes did they drop in this past week?
Five. I counted five when I charted it today, this morning.
Yeah, they should have lost to Georgia Tech. They should have lost that football game. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. Alabama
could get hot if they find a way to get Milroe back on track, like
on Earth. Yeah,
on Earth. Yeah, like there's so much parity in that.
It's so difficult to defend Milroe. He's a very unique weapon.
Oh yeah,
offensively to try to defend against. Speaking of unique weapons, we might as well move on to our second Dafter draft, and that would be that two ACC teams deserve to make the college football playoffs. Corey, I think the whole world knows how we feel about this, but
yeah, anybody who's listening, yeah, I'm dafting the heck out of this. Like, the argument would be Miami, or I guess the argument would also be SMU if they lose in the ACC championship game. I've just seen so many cracks in Clemson's armor. To lose to Clemson would be detrimental. We say that, though, and they only lost by three to South Carolina, who we'll get to that as well. But I don't think this late in the season you can lose to the 17th team of the nation and not fall out of the top 12. Yeah. From SMU's perspective. And I'm absolutely very glad that they leveraged Miami out. Have said teams that don't play aren't going to have an opportunity to move up in the rankings. Like they straight up said that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they've leveraged Miami out, because Syracuse is ranked now, but they weren't last week. And so both of Miami's losses have come in pretty bad fashion against unranked opponents at the time. Georgia Tech's still unranked, but Syracuse has snuck into the top 25 now.
How many games did Miami sneak by against bad
Virginia Tech teams? Cal, two right there for sure. Should have lost both those games. And zero top 25 wins on their schedule this season. Not a single one. There is no argument that you could pitch to me that I would say, yeah, Miami deserves that 12 seed. Well, they are the 12 seed. Miami deserves to make the playoffs. Couldn't do it.
No, and that's why I have to daft this as well, because it sure ain't going to be Clemson. Like, Clemson's going to get in if they win this football game, but I don't think they're a very good football team overall. When I look at this, I would love to say, yes, SMU deserves it. But when you look at SMU's schedule, whom have they played? Because it is a whole lot of nobody. Mm-hmm. Pitt, a lot of cracks. In the past couple of weeks, we've seen from them.
The argument you could make is their loss was to BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Their only loss. And it was when they were starting Preston Stone. So they're not even starting the same quarterback. Yes. So you could make the argument, if they had started Kevin Jennings from the jump, would they be undefeated? And if Clemson were to beat them, would they then just be a one-loss team?
Yes. And if they were just one-loss team, then there's no way you're leaving them out.
Right.
But they're going to be a two-loss ACC team who hasn't played anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make the argument, as much as I love SMU, as much as I want SMU in the college football playoff, as much as I want SMU to become the ACC powerhouse this year. First of all, it was early for them to be where they're at today. Uh-huh. And second of all, the resume just is not there, because the ACC isn't good.
I will be interested, though, to see kind of if SMU does lose this football game, and I I think it'll be close. I think it'll be close because I have questions about the kind of team that SMU is. But if SMU does lose this football game, the quarterback argument is the argument that the committee used against Florida State last year to keep them out of the playoffs. Your quarterback got hurt. The inverse would be true here, where SMU could say, like, that loss that we had isn't the quarterback. Yeah. Isn't the quarterback that we had. So it's kind of the inverse, and kind of see how the committee handles that. The committee's kind of proven that they don't have any sort of parameters. They can just kind of do what they want. So I would envision they'd still leave SMU out. As far as becoming that ACC powerhouse, I really do think they've got potential to get back to where they were, because they're the only ACC school in Texas, which is a very, very strong pipeline.
And they are in the heart portal. They're in the heart of Dallas.
Yes. So, like, I do think that could happen. And I think that would be so much fun. The same way I think it would be fun if Nebraska somehow became a Big Ten competitor again.
Yeah.
Like, I want those old school competitive teams. It's why I love Texas State and my NCAA 25 dynasty. They have two national championships from the 80s. Why can't I rebuild them back to dominance? Like, I love those classic traditional programs. And so I would love that for SMU, Nebraska, those kind of schools to get back into it.
Yep, absolutely. The third daft or draft that we have here is that the committee got it right with Alabama being the final team to make the college football playoff.
Oh, this one's tough. This one's very tough. And it's honestly the cause of a lot of tension on social media about the rankings, because they did leverage a three-loss Bama team in, and it doesn't look like there's any way that Bama could get kicked out at this point. Again, unless Clemson wins and they deem that South Carolina's win against Clemson carries some weight at that point. It's tough, man. I'm going to draft it. I don't want to draft it. My heart doesn't want to draft it, but I'm going to draft that they got it right to put in Alabama over South Carolina. I don't agree with leveraging Ole Miss over South Carolina. For sure. Don't agree with that. But they have the head-to-head. I know it was mid-October when that head-to-head took place, and South Carolina's playing some really good football. But that was in the midst of some of Jalen Milroe's worst football, and they still won that game. At the same time, again, definitely a three-loss Bama over a team like Miami, over probably any other two-loss SMU, or even SMU, like a two-loss SMU, I would still probably take Bama in over. And all my heart wants to love Lenore Sellers, and all my heart wants to love this version of South Carolina and say they deserve to be in. But for me, that head-to-head just carries weight. It has to, especially when the margins are razor thin, when you're trying to pick the last team in. It's hard for me to look at that head-to-head and be like, well, how do you choose South Carolina over Bama? Even though deep in my heart, I really want to. So I'm gonna draft it that they got it right.
Yeah, the head-to-head is a tough thing to argue against, but I'm gonna freaking do it anyways. I'm gonna daft this. And should I daft it? No, probably not. Alabama, at the end of the day, probably the most talented out of the three SEC teams that really have a discussion here, and there is nobody else. There's no Big 12 teams that you can talk me into. There are no other at-large bids that you could talk me into. Nobody else in the ACC. We already talked about that. And no other Big 10 team.
The only case would be Indiana, and they already leveraged Indiana in.
Yes, so like, which I think is the correct decision.
It is the correct call, yeah.
When I look at this, I look at a South Carolina team that was 3-3 and have rattled off 6 wins in a row. Against Texas A&M, 44-20. Against Missouri, which was a close game, 34-30. And then Clemson. In that time, Ole Miss lost to Florida. And I know that Florida is a lot better team now. But they just lost to Florida. Alabama just lost, got demolished by a bad Oklahoma football team. And I think I understand where the committee's head is at when it comes to head-to-head. But I also believe that what have you done for me lately and what is your form right now is important.
Yeah.
If you had Bama lose two early games and their one loss was to Georgia in week 13, that's different. But that quarterback and that team have not looked the same since they beat Georgia.
Yeah.
So it's really tough for me to sit here and say that they legitimately have the better resume. And so I understand when it comes down to it, you're going to go to head-to-head. And then you also have to look at Ole Miss versus South Carolina because they have the win over South Carolina, and it was a big win against South Carolina. 27-3. But Ole Miss
isn't in that conversation for me, man.
In the conversation. And at the end of the day, once again, I'm going to go back to the fact that South Carolina should have never lost that football game against LSU. And if they weren't screwed out of that game, This isn't even a discussion.
It's not.
Because
it's
they're not the final team in. And at the end of the day, I have that argument, and I have the argument about current form. And Lenora Sellers just had 166 rushing yards and made 37 people miss on the way to those. That defensive line is awesome. And I understand Alabama's defensive line is always awesome. Actually, Ole Miss's defensive line is awesome as well. But man, I love this South Carolina football team. And I am so sad that they're not going to get their shot.
Yeah, I am too. Again, my heart loves this team because I think Beamer's done a great job with that program, especially this year, man. Losing Juice Wells, losing Xavier Leggett as well. Like, it's tough. It's tough because I really, with all my heart, think that they probably could give any team in the SEC a run for their money right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Any other overall reactions to the bracket other than what we've talked about so far?
My overall thoughts are just that they got it right so far. I
do too. I don't see what the big commotion's about, to be honest.
No. I think that they got it right. Obviously, everything will change. I feel really bad for – I'm from Pennsylvania. All of my buddies went to Penn State. They're sitting here salivating, looking at whoever wins the Big 12 and then Boise State. And there's just absolutely no way that – that's going to be the run because they're either going to beat Oregon and they're going to end up the one or the two seed, or they're going to lose and they're going to lose out on the five seed and Notre Dame is going to pop in. The other question that we had, and we didn't make it a draft or draft because we had already talked about Penn State, but if Penn State loses, which we both kind of believe that they will, should they drop below Ohio State in the rankings?
Yeah.
Do you think? I think when you look at it from the way that the committee looks at it, the head-to-head, they have to drop below.
I think so, too.
If you're going to make a big commotion out of head-to-head, I think that you have to do it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Because, again, what it comes down to as well is I don't think the committee takes into a team's like mental psyche into consideration when they're doing this. And there's absolutely some sort of mental block with Ohio State and Ryan Day against Michigan. Yeah. There's absolutely some sort of mental block with that football team and playing in a big game. But I don't think that's taken into consideration.
And you could also make that same argument against Penn State and James Franklin.
So. You also could. Yeah. But again, Ohio State holds that head-to-head, and it's pretty recent. Mm-hmm. It's not midseason. No. It's 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago. So, yeah. At the end of the day, Ohio State still does hold a big win over another playoff team. They do hold a game they probably should have won against the number one team in the nation, a tight loss against the number one team in the nation. So I think Ohio State, even with that bad loss, a horrid loss to Michigan, if they find a way to lighten up, they find a way to unclench a little bit. Like, Will Howard was really safe with the football all season up to that point. Their receivers were making plays up until that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, their offensive line is a big issue.
That's what I was about to say, is that interior's tough right now.
It is. But I think Ohio State could still win it if they just learn how to, like, not put so much pressure on themselves in big games under bright lights. Like, they could very easily win the national championship too. I think Penn State should fall behind Ohio State.
What teams do you think just have absolutely no shot? No chance.
Miami. Whatsoever.
No. I'm saying that are in.
Right. Oh, now. That are in. Boise State, Indiana, probably Tennessee, because as high profile as their quarterback is, and like the speed they possess in that wide receiver and their offense, as explosive as it's supposed to be, has been anemic against good teams.
Yeah.
I would say Tennessee's a huge long shot. Outside of that, though,
SMU,
ACC, Arizona State, yeah,
the ACC, and the Big 12 winners.
I would say though, if Notre Dame gets that 5 seed, I'm not sleeping on Arizona State to potentially. That team's a really well coached team, and they have some explosive talent.
And they won't have to go through a murderer's row.
No,
if they beat Notre Dame, I don't think that they will. But and that's the other thing is, I don't think we. Yeah, you're right. I don't think we can count out Boise or Arizona State, because I don't know how much better Arizona State is. Because we also have to look at Boise only lost to the best team in the nation by 3.
Yeah,
and so that whole corner of the bracket, whoever's in it, unless it ends up being like Georgia or whatever. I think it's wide open, because at the end of the day, are you going to trust Riley Leonard in that passing attack against anybody?
No, but I trust that defense though.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if they're, and that's the thing that it comes down to is, well, like, what quarterbacks are we playing? Do I think a Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame defense could put Quinn Ewers in a blender? Absolutely. Carson Beck in a blender? Absolutely. Will Howard in a blender? Absolutely. That's 3 of the best teams in the nation we're talking about right there. Drew Aller in a blender? Absolutely. So, like, we're talking about all these teams, and I think Notre Dame's defense has the potential to make them all look fairly silly.
Yeah.
But again, it does come down to, can Notre Dame's offense then score some points? But they have found some success running their offense through Jeremiah Love, who isn't even draft eligible, and who is probably going to be one of the best backs in the nation we talk about next year.
Yep.
Next year's draft class. So
absolutely.
They have found some success there, and it's taken some pressure off of Riley Leonard's shoulders. So, like, could they do just enough? Yeah, but I could also see how it sits right now as the 6th seed against the 11th seed Alabama getting beat in the first round by Alabama. So, like,
yeah.
But going back to that defense, I just think when we're talking about the quarterbacks that they would face, I don't have, like, there is not a standout quarterback in college football this year. Outside of Dylan Gabriel, again, not as an NFL draft prospect, but, like, he passes every test. He passes every test that an offense asks of him.
Yep.
And so, like, I have no reason to say, like, well, would Notre Dame put him in a blender too? Potentially, but, like, he's passed every test so far, so why should I think that he would fail this one kind of situation at the college level? And again, I am pro letting fun college players be fun college players without trying to put any sort of NFL draft pressure or trashing their profile as a draft prospect. Dylan Gabriel is probably the best quarterback in college football. So that's the one that's what stands out. So, like, if I had to say, yeah, Notre Dame could. Indiana, no shot. Arizona State, probably no shot. Boise State, probably no shot. Tennessee, long shots. SMU, long shots. Clemson, if they win, long shots. BYU, if they get in, no shot. Outside of that, Oregon, Texas, Ohio State, I'd even throw Penn State, Notre Dame in there, and Georgia. I think they could all make a run and win it.
Yep. I agree with that. All right, let's get the people out of here, and
We're another crisp 30 minutes. There we go.
Yeah, right? And we're going to do 6 through 10 tomorrow. That's going to be fun because my 6 through 10 has changed as I have watched more film, and I'm excited to talk about it with you.
I love it. All right. Well, until we get back and we get through 6 through 10, and again, we're getting to a point where we're not going to have slates on Fridays to talk about. We're not going to have helmet stickers on Mondays to talk about. So we're going to be diving into a lot more, and we probably honestly need to talk about some content change and some or schedule changes and some content to plan out for the future, because it's going to look a lot different moving forward on the podcast than it has the past 12 weeks, 13 weeks. So very exciting times. Dalton plans to go to the Shrine Bowl. I plan to go to the Shrine Bowl as well. We might get a little live podcast situation going on down there, which might be some fun too, but we're getting into all of that. And I'm very excited to break all of this down moving forward. But for now, a crisp 30 minutes, 31 by the time I babbled at the end, but whatever. This has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast.